Divine Mercy Novena Day 1. Friends, thank you so much for joining us. Mm-hmm. We're so glad that you are here.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? There's a lot of you who have been doing this with us for a number of years. This is our fifth year where Ken and I have been just doing these little videos every single day for 9 days leading up to the feast of Divine Mercy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, if you're for the first time wondering what the structure is going to be, this is how we're going to run it. We're going to give a little reflection upon the day's intention that we're praying for. And then at the end of the video, we're going to link to a video where we can say the chaplet together. So we want to do the reflection so we can enter into the prayer a little bit more effective. So why is this novena so special?
Well, in 1937, Jesus himself asked St. Faustina to begin a novena to the Divine Mercy on Good Friday. And today is Good Friday, so we're going to do the same thing. And the thing is that Jesus asked that each day a certain intention be prayed for. God himself who has asked us to pray for these intentions.
So it's kind of unique because we can pray for many different things and make up our own intentions, but we trust here that we're being led by God to pray for these specific things in this specific time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we began. Today is the first day, and we pray for who?
Today, bring to me all mankind, especially all sinners, and immerse them in the ocean of my mercy. In this way, you will console me in the bitter grief into which the loss of souls plunges me. Well, we've done videos for the last 5 years, but something different has stood out to me is Jesus asks us to immerse sinners in his mercy. And I was thinking, how do we do that? How do we immerse someone in his mercy? And just a few little things came to my mind. You know, obviously praying this novena, just little sacrifices throughout our day. You know, I was having a conversation with our son not too long ago, and he was saying, like, why doesn't God just make everyone love him?
Oh.
And I thought that was a really good question, you know, because he's God. He can do whatever he wants. But the beautiful thing is that God has given us free will to choose him.
Yes.
And we have the free will to choose to do acts of penance, reparation for sin, so that we can bring more people to heaven.
There's two things that stand out to me, building upon that. One, that souls can be lost. And number two, that we can win souls back to God.
That's right.
First thing, souls can be lost, building upon your point on free will. God is love, and he can't force himself into our life. And love always gives an open door for us to choose.
Mm.
And sometimes people just don't choose. And some might be thinking, Kim, well, are you being judgmental? How do you know some people don't choose God? Because they tell me. We've been doing this stuff online, and there's some people that just write out say they hate Jesus. They hate the Catholic Church. They hate our Blessed Mother. Am I to call them a liar when they say those things? I presume they're telling the truth. And so what do we do? Well, it grieves my heart and it grieves our Lord's heart. And so we pray. Friends, this is important. There's some people who simply do not want God.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that with their lips and they proclaim that with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are invited today to beg God for his mercy because we can change eternity through these prayers.
Mm-hmm.
I find it interesting in St. Faustina's diary, you have it right here, Janelle. She talks about 7 sufferings of hell. So she was taken to the chasm of hell one day in a mystical experience. And after that experience, she says this.
I am writing this at the command of God so that no soul may find an excuse by saying there is no hell, or that nobody has ever been there.
So we hear these words and sometimes we might get a little bit afraid because, of course, no one wants to go to hell. But then later, St. Faustina writes this.
I received a deeper understanding of divine mercy. Only the soul that wants it will be damned, for God condemns no one.
So when we're reading St. Faustina, these are private revelations. And so we're not bound as Catholics to believe every single T and dotted I exactly the way she writes, because what we are bound to believe as Catholics is what the Church definitively teaches, and that's the measuring stick. And so when we read St. Faustina, we measure it to what the Church has definitively said is true. So in this case, let's look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church and see how it lines up.
To die in mortal sin without repenting and accepting God's merciful love means remaining separated from him forever by our own free choice. This state of definitive self-exclusion from communion with God and the blessed is called hell.
So in St. Faustina's writing, she says, God condemns nobody. And of course, this lines up with the Catechism, where the Catechism says we exclude ourselves from being with God. Mm-hmm. So Scripture says,
enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
So here's the question many people ask. How many people go to heaven? How many people go to hell? The church has never given a percentage, right? Some of the saints do. Some of the saints get pretty specific, and some of the saints actually give names of people in hell. Now, the church doesn't do that. What I really appreciate is an insight from Dr. Ralph Martin, where he says, few does not mean many, and many does not mean few. The sentiment sometimes it feels like within the Catholic Church is that everyone's going to heaven, and very few people are going to hell. Now, again, we're not giving percentages, but we should always err on the side of caution so that we desperately call out to God for mercy, and that we have this drive for evangelization as well. So with that all being said, we are praying this novena to save souls, to change eternity. Let's not forget that, which leads us to the second part. We can save souls by our prayers. God will use them.
Let no one doubt concerning the goodness of God. Even if a person's sins were as dark as night, God's mercy is stronger than our misery. One thing alone is necessary, that the sinner set ajar the door of his heart, be it ever so little, to let in a ray of God's merciful grace, and then God will do the rest. That's beautiful. You know, God just needs a little crack.
Yeah.
And how, like, let's pray hard. I, you know, I just feel like I don't want anyone to be like, oh, it's this time of year, I just got to pray my Divine Mercy novena. No, like, really, this is the work of saving souls. And I don't want anyone to take this lightly.
This is a salvation moment.
Mm-hmm. So let us pray that people would open up just a little crack, you know, so that God's mercy could come into their hearts. And that can change eternity for them.
So let's pray for that crack to be opened. Friends, what we're going to do, we are going to link the Divine Chaplet of Mercy right up there. It's our children praying it. I hope you take advantage of it. We'll also link in the description. Share this video with others that you think would be blessed as well. Let's share the good news of Divine Mercy, and we will see you tomorrow.